my schedule, I'll probably get in trouble for this, but I think it's important that you have a chance to make a comment or ask a question. We're going to have only 10 minutes on that. There are two mics on the floor, so if you'd like to ask a question about Kate or Kim, or if you'd like to make a comment, come up to the mic and do so. Maybe you'll just... Maybe I scared you off with the behind schedule if you thought you wouldn't get to the social. Don't worry, we'll all get there. I'm worried about keeping these students up late.
Yes, Mickey Kanakin from the Kootenai region. First of all, I'd like to thank the individuals who put this conference on. It's wonderful to see such a diverse group from around the province talking about the public's education system. The question I have is for Dr. Schoner, and it was a statistic you offered of the impact that's made on children, and you stated that the positive impact was 62% was teacher and 6% was support worker. I'm wondering if was that statistic garnered from all the students in your survey, or was that from students who did have an assigned support worker working with them?
It was from all of the students in the survey. Now, mind you, this was a community school, so in fact, there was a community school office, and so there was a youth and family worker, there was a whole bunch of other adults who kids could have drawn from. So it wasn't actually just looking at kids who had a support worker. So it was and the one thing, sort of the point in looking at the study was that there were so many different adults that kids could draw from in the school that could be important to them rather than just have just their teacher. You know, the idea that it takes a village to raise a child, and I guess in the context of the school, that's what it was.
I just wanted to see how much effect the village had.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Mike, number one.
Well, thank you very much, Shane Simpson. I'm the MLA for Vancouver Hastings, and I'd like to start by thanking you for inviting those of us provincial politicians to be here, and I know I have lots of colleagues. My question is for Kim. I represent Vancouver Hastings. My daughter went to Hastings School and now goes to Tech, and I know in my community I probably have more inner-city schools than any place else in the province and a very high rate of poverty. And I'd be interested to know, to get your observations about the linkages in inner city schools between those other support services in those schools, youth and family workers, other workers, along with the linkage to class size and to educators. And how important is that to making things work in a school for kids who are in those difficult situations?
Well, one of the things that has been identified in the research, my research and others, is that it's important for every child to have a significant adult in their life. And that's important for wherever you are. It doesn't matter, especially kids who are in inner city. Often it might not be a family member, but it might be one other adult. And the research on resiliency has found that those kids most at risk or who are resilient, who make it despite the odds against them, are actually ones who identify an important adult. And what I would say is those inner city schools, again, that you have a larger sort of array of adults from which to choose that kids could be connected to. And in fact, there's some research that really talks about, I don't know if anybody knows Michelle Borba's work, who talks about at the beginning of the school year that teachers and staff each identify one child that they think might be at risk, and they make an effort throughout the school year to make connections with that student based on all the mentoring research. But the idea that hasn't been looked at is what is the role of schools, and schools are really such the place to reach these kids. So I think it's everyone combined.
Hi, my name is Mae John Bowles from Prince Rupert. I recently, at the beginning of January, Ginny had an opportunity to be in my classroom. And it was quite funny, that time when she came, one of the students, when she introduced herself, one of the students asked if she was related to Bart Simpson. my comical one. Grade one. So anyhow, since the time you visited me, Ginny, my class size has gone down from 21 to 14 because my school was one of the schools that was identified as very high need. The primary wing was a lot of high-risk students. So our school in particular received a full-time teacher. We were able to reduce the class size of our kindergarten class from 22 down to 15 or 14, I think, and as well as for myself. The kindergarten teacher, her top priority was the safety of the kids, because any given time, it was always kind of, kids running away and kids getting lost. We always worry about the safety of the kids. So for her, it really made a big difference, because she's able to care more for her kids. And for myself, over the last month since I had reduced size, I was able to care for my kids more. Even one particular child, when the class size was 21, he was really agitated. He's always, frustrated, insecure. In that 1 month period, he's the most happiest kid I've ever seen in a long time, and it's really made a difference. So thank you.
I think the woman's observations actually answer the question, but with respect to research, Kim, I was just wondering if you're aware of any research on the impact of teacher wellness and caring behaviors, caring, compassionate behaviors. I mean, my experiential lens suggests that there is a relationship, but because when we feel healthy, we're able to give more easily. Do you know of any research?
There's a whole area now that's emerging called positive psychology. It's very interesting because for years, the psychology looked at the doom and gloom of everything. It actually really emerged on sort of dealing with depression and problems. And really very little research has looked at things like happiness or joy. Actually, you could find I think someone did a comparison. They found like there were 500,000 articles on depression and 500 articles on happiness in the last 20 years. And what we find from the research on happiness, well, first I have to tell you something that you like, is that something called optimism. And people are actually, there's a whole book called Learned Optimism. And what they found was people who are optimistic, who wear the rose-colored glasses, who see the glass half full, who are kind of delusional. Well, I just have to say, because I'm one of them as well. But those people have the best psychological and physical health. That having hope is really what's critical. Now, the issue between happiness and wellness and caring is so linked. What they find is people who are happy are more likely to be caring, are more likely to be generous. And if you want to actually breed happiness, you actually get people to do more caring behaviors. So one study actually did with college students, they actually told one group three times during that week to do a favor for someone. And the other group they told to do nothing. And they actually found that the students who actually did the favors had higher levels of happiness and lower rates of depression in the end of a week. And then the other factor, actually this I thought was really a happiness booster, is a gratitude journal. Anybody watch Oprah?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, anyway, the one study looked at these gratitude journals and they asked people, randomly assigned them to three times every night, to actually write three things that went well for them during the day. So at the end of the day, there were three things they could be thankful for over a course of a month. And they had another group, they said no. And would you believe the people who kept that gratitude journal by the end of a month had higher rates of happiness, higher rates of health and well-being, all these positive factors, just taking time to reflect on the things that you appreciate in your life. So there is such a link between teacher wellness and actually what they can do to care for kids and kids.
Okay, I'm going to take just one more question or comment.
Thank you very much.
My name is Jim Sinclair, and I'm a school trustee of 25 years from Fraser Cascade in the east end of the valley. I am very fortunate to be in a school district that the class size numbers are great, but I have a problem with class composition, and I've been on this kick for the last 3 years, and I think we're finally trying to do something about it. But the answer lies someplace between the two ladies tonight. I would never want to go back to the stuff that Kate described, and I remember that. I remember it. I remember the first contract where we got into talking about class size. It was horrible. It's terrible. We didn't want to talk about that. I think the work that you're doing, Kim, will maybe inspire some trustees around the government of the province, but I hope it inspires the provincial government a little bit, not to throw average class sizes at me to give me actual class sizes. I spent all day yesterday reading that report that just came out, and all I got was the average class size in the district. It never told me about the classes of 32 and 33. It told me that that district had an average of 25 kids. I think it's flawed. I think the teachers are to be commended for the track they're on. I supported them wholeheartedly in the strike. And the thing they did with the strike was they made the parents in this province aware of what the real problem in the school system is. So I commend both of you. Keep talking, Kate, because I never want to see us go back there. Okay?
And we'll have lots of opportunity to continue the discussion over the next day. And we have a little gift for both of you.